tell you what, it's good to serve the Lord. And isn't it good? I want you to agree with me. It's good to serve the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, I don't know any other life any better. You know what I'm saying? We were singing another song about this is my life. And I was thinking, that's not, when you talk about a natural man saying that serving God is, you saying that's my life. You know, that doesn't just, in the natural, it's almost impossible. But you have to give your life to the Lord for him to, we can't do this on our own, in the natural. But, with God's help, I can tell, things, just in the natural, things you eat, sometimes you have to acquire a taste for it. And I'll tell you what, it's not automatic for me to just want to lift my hand out here. I'm a quiet person. So, they used to say shy when I was growing up. But anyway, this is unusual for me. I don't, speaking in public, I used to just freeze up. I'm just telling you, when they tell me to get up and say something, buddy, I'm in trouble. But anyway, God has helped me. That's what I'm going to say. I didn't just do this. But God has helped me, and I want to let you know God will always help us if we're willing to work with him. If we're willing to make this our life, then God will, he will help us. And I remember one time I was in, I don't remember if it was high school. I did go a little college, but we had to write a speech. Just a five-minute speech, And they say if you're going to speak on anything, speak on something you love or that you like. And I made a speech, a five-minute speech on traveling, because I always like traveling. But but anyway, God help us with things. I think God help us along that line, the things that you have trouble with in life. I believe God help us, and especially if you're willing. Be willing and obedient, what the scripture said, will eat the good of the land. So we have to be willing to step out, with God. Have enough faith to be able to just make that step. One of the young men in the meeting was talking about, Peter, that he made that step, with Jesus. He was able to walk on the water for a little while. So anyway, that's what he was saying, just a little while. But anyway, and that's in God. These things are in God, and that's what I'm finding, that when I begin to let my life be more in tune with God, to be able to do things for God. That's normally I don't like doing, Bible reading, But anyway, do it. When you do it, God will help you. That's what I'm saying. He assists us in the things that we have trouble doing, especially if you're doing it for God. God assists you. And I don't have a problem reading my Bible now. People talk about being a dry book and all that. It's really not, because if you begin to hear a minister, we're blessed with Brother Smith to be able to open the Word of God to us, and then he bring it alive, and where it's not a dead book. And then you see things like he talked about those stones in the breastplate of the ministry in the Jewish world, in the Jewish Old Testament, and that had a greater meaning when you understand it. And you read that and you think, man, that really means something, And God had that meaning. It wasn't just that they did it, but God had a purpose for it. And he, that's how particular God is about things. He has a reason. He has a purpose. And we have to find God's purpose, in our lives. And things happen sometimes. You think, well, why did that happen? God, consider God in it. You may not know that whether God had a purpose in it, but consider him anyway. He may have a purpose in it. And that's how we have to walk. This is a walk of faith. And we have to do that because, we're not just doing this. We want to be able to work with God, not just work for him either, just work with him. We want to eventually work with God. And so we have to be sensitive to what God is doing. At least have a mind to think, oh, could this be God? Just could. I was thinking about Esther in the book of Esther, where Esther became the queen, and Mordecai, her uncle, was trying to tell her, look, you're a queen now, and it could be, it was one script I think that he said, it could be that you're here just for this purpose. Think about it. You know, God might have made you queen just for this to happen. You know, think about it. You might have put you in this position for this to happen. You know, just consider that. You know, it could be. And that's why I don't like to look at things. Sometimes, you know, these things happen, you think, you know, God may have just allowed me to be here for that purpose. So I want to be open to the Lord and have a life that I'm living that where God can. I want him to be able to talk to me. You know, I'm glad we're in a place where we're encouraged to listen to the Lord. We're encouraged to listen to our minister and to seek the Lord, consider God. You know, we're encouraged to do that. And I think it kind of helps us, you know, that, you know, don't just go through life like, you know, it says smell of roses, you know, kind of look around, you know. Consider. They say in the day of adversity, consider. You know, we're to consider. God may be in this. You know, God could be talking to us. You know, I don't want to miss him if he's talking. You think about the children of Israel on the day of when Jesus visited them. They missed him over as a whole, as a nation. Not, you know, some of them didn't, but as a nation, as a whole, they missed, you know, the day of his visitation. So anyway, I'm thankful today. We're in church again and just had a great youth meeting. Thank God for our young people and what they're doing. They're giving their lives to serve God. And I want to encourage them, you know, to continue, you know, with what God has given them. Appreciate Brother Smith encouraging him. His heart is going out for the young people to reach out to God. There is no better life, you know, that you can live. You know, you can't invest your life in anything any better than serving God. I'm convinced of that. You know, there is nothing better. You know, you're not spinning your wheels. You're not wasting your time when you're serving God. And I recommend it. And I want to mention our visitors. There's some that stayed over from the youth meeting. Brother and Sister Harris from Houma, Louisiana, they're here. And good to see them. Have them. And their pastor is Brother Leo Brown in Houma. And Brother Scott and his McDonald. And how many children? Four children? Four children? Okay, good to have them. From Paducah. Yeah. I remember when he was in Oklahoma City, but he's from Paducah. So anyway, go back a long way. He's a young man too. But anyway, let me help me with some of these. Brother and Sister Lucas, Elorado, Illinois. Brother Jolly's church. Good to have them. We got some young folks over here that. Okay, brother, from Brother Ross's church, right? Yeah. From Louisville. All right. Good name. They came with the Luke. Help me out. Is that right? Y'all get Hannah and Laura. All right, good to have them. Praise the Lord. Y'all. Make yourselves at home. I don't know what y'all do at home, but anyway. You see what we do. We worship God, so I hope you do too, and we want to make you welcome. We get everybody? Don't want to miss anybody. Wait a minute. Now I know that. Brother and Sister McNabb from Keswick, Canada. God bless you. Praise the Lord. They came early and they're staying late. Rebecca got, I heard she got the Holy Ghost, is that right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great experience, Rebecca. You'll always need that. Be able to lean on that. You'll be able to lean on that. So anyway, it's good to be here, and we're going to pray. And then I guess we'll do an offering. We'll do an offering. Y'all about hear that? No church, no evening service tonight.
We'll have dinner after service.
Okay. Will be dinner, but no church. Sister Linda. All right, remember Sister Wilkins, she is at home. She came on Saturday. Saturday evening, Brother Brett, I don't know what it is. I was asking him about it, and he wasn't sure. So let's keep praying for Sister Wilkins. Pray that God, she's weak. All right. Is he not here today? Brother Henry, I'm sure you saw him out here working, doing a youth meeting. Kind of overdid it, I guess. But anyway, let's pray for Brother Henry. He did a good job, actually. He really did. Sister Lace. All right. Remember Sister Wilson. Sister Wilkins at home.
Saturday night.
Yes. Still weak. Remember her. All right. Any other prayer requests? Sister Elsie. Your family? Okay. All right, y'all. Okay, let's remember those requests. All right. Remember Brother Paul. He was here during the youth meeting, worked hard. Yeah. I asked him, was he getting anything? And he said, well, I hadn't been upstairs. He was downstairs the whole time. So anyway, remember him. He's on happy to be on the road, I guess, to New Jersey. All right. Anybody else?
Keep remembering Brother Memo Cano. Still trying to get out of Mexico. We sent his wife $1,000 offering to help him on their,
thank you, Lord,
their personal finances while he's away like this. He called this morning and thanked us, but he wanted us to keep praying that they've got lawyers trying to help him get the courts to let him out of there. So keep him in your prayers. Good. They're saying that the people that just got elected in Mexico were people that they've got some connections with that should be getting some help from. So keep praying for him. Keep praying for the work in the Dominican Republic. And also, I know several of you heard me mention the Body Youth Trip. Memorial Day weekend, and we'll have to work on the dates. We're going to probably need about at least a 5-day trip or something. So keep praying about that. But a lot of people said they wanted to go on that, so I'm looking forward to it. Keep praying for that. Also, this girl that lives next door to Brother Emilio Green that's paralyzed now in her legs because of an immune deficiency in her immune system. So let's keep praying that God would touch this young lady. Mm-hmm. Yes, anybody wanting to go to the Dominican Republic will have to get a passport. Let's go to the U.S. Postal Office and get your application. Go to Walgreens and get your passport picture. Walmart makes them too. Just get them and send them in. So this is something we'll have to plan on for,
yes, right,
from now till next May, the end of next May. Yeah, that'll get you into Canada too, brother. McNabb saying. All right. Remember Canada, the work there.
Yeah, you have to put forth a little effort. I remember we went to Canada years ago with school kids, and all you needed was a birth certificate. But them days have changed. You need a passport. So anyway, let's pray for Brother Memo and he's doesn't need, yes, Brother David Angelo as well. Let's remember him. I didn't hear it in a late report, but anyway, let's remember Brother David Angelo. Any other requests? Sister Sturgeon, pray for her. All right. Well, let's all stand and ask that God will help his people. touch their needs this day, Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
Heaven is opportunity to come before you. Pray that you help each other. Lord, help your people. Oh, blessed be your holy name.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord, help us in our hearts to be open.
Help us.
Have compassion.
Sick
here. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Precious we
right now. I've got a weary mind, but when I look about, oh, and I think these things out loud, all of the good things, they outweigh the bad things. I can't complain. God is so good to me. Yes, He is so good to me. More than this world could be. Oh, He's so good to me. His Spirit came to me and gave me victory. I'd like to see them go. Then I ask this question, Lord, why so much pain and woe? He knows what's best for me, even though I cannot see. So I'll just say thank you, Lord. Yeah.
But Brother Mickey, if I'm taking your time, I'm sorry. I just, when I come in this church, I walk down memory lane. I was practically raised in this church. I'm Scott McDonald from Paducah, Kentucky, also known as Scotty McDonald from Oklahoma City. A lot of people know me as Scotty. Used to, I didn't like it, but it makes me feel younger now. But I'm just thankful to be able to be in the assembly with y'all, to be able to uplift each other's hands. I have a love in my heart for Little Rock. My father and Brother Ray Leniger put a love in our heart for each other. Wichita, Oklahoma, and Little Rock was one big family for a while. And we worked together. And it caused us to grow together. And that's what Jesus' plan was, for us to grow together, you know, to become one, to be like Him. And that's what we're all striving for. It don't matter where you go. You know, if I could be in Paducah, or I could be in Little Rock or Oklahoma City, and we hear the same things, because we're striving for the same goal. And that's what makes my heart rejoice, is that knowing that my kids have somewhere to come to hear the same thing that I heard growing up, and I ain't got to worry about what they're learning. You know, this world will teach anything, but what they're learning in here is what I learned and what other people learned, because it's been a road paved for us. It's been rough for the older ones, but we've kind of got it easy now. You know, we get to sit in air conditioning. We know it's a little hot, but Brother Insel keeps telling us how he used to sit and watch the, you know, fans blow bugs in. I listen to preaching up in the hills of Kentucky, you know. But my heart was, I don't know, I just felt like giving my testimony. Not that I've went out in the world or done anything like that, but I was born and raised in church, never left. I did quit for maybe, I don't know, 6 months, didn't do nothing, just sit at home, because I just thought, well, I don't need this, you know, I could do better by my lonesome. But I found out real quick I needed this, you know, and I was lonely. When you grow up in something like this, you just can't get away from it. It won't leave your heart, you know. When it come meeting times, what's my friends doing? You know, I miss everybody. And I was big into duck hunting, and me and my brother-in-law would go out on the river and duck hunt, and I'd be sitting there thinking, you know, one time we went out, we shouldn't even went out. The river was up out of the banks. They had the flood walls up. They banned all boats for being on the river, and me and my brother-in-law went out on the river duck hunting. And I thought we was going to drown. I mean, water was coming in the boat. We was pulling it out as fast as it was coming in. We had ducks, decoys, and guns, and waders, and everything on. Waves were so big that the motor would come up out of the water, and we wouldn't go nowhere. And we tried to turn, and wouldn't turn. It just kept floating sideways. And I thought, Lord, I hear you. Don't hit me with no. Don't hit me no harder. I hear you. And Sunday, I was in church, by golly. You know, because when you got waders on and it's cold out, you can't even try to swim. There's no sense even trying. But that's got off on a sidetrack. But when I was about 17, we moved to Nashville, my folks, and I started going to Paducah. And I liked the church there, nothing against Nashville church, but I felt more of a draw to go to Paducah, felt more at home. There again, I'm not going back on the Nashville people. At that time, that's what I needed, but, you know, sometimes you have to move on. And I worked all day at one job, and then I helped my parents. They had a little side business. I helped them work one night, and then it was on a Friday night, and I headed out. I had a little Nissan truck, headed to Paducah. And it was only about a 2.5-hour drive. About an hour and a half into it, I fell asleep driving. And just before then, I dropped something down the floorboard, and I had a little Nissan truck. I'm 6'5", and I couldn't reach it. So I unbuckled, reached over and got it, picked it up, and never buckled back up. And I went off in the ditch, and when I realized I was in the ditch, I came up on the highway running 70 miles an hour, slid plumb sideways on the highway, and a semi behind me, seeing what was going on, he just got in the middle of the road and just slowed down and held all the traffic back so I can have all the road that I need to do whatever I could do. And I hit the other side of the ditch, and my truck started flipping, end over end, just flipping. And it landed upside down. And when I come to, it knocked me out. When I come to, I was laying on the cab of my truck. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't get out of the truck. The cab was crashed down. I couldn't get out. and I seen these two hands reach inside and just grab my truck door and jerk it open. And this truck driver reached in and grabbed me and pulled me out. He said, "Man, I seen what happened. If you have any beer or alcohol in that truck, get it, throw it over the fence. The police are on the way." I said, "I don't have none of that stuff in here. I don't do that, you know." He said, "Well, I'm just telling you." And I said, "Well, I don't have it. You ain't got to tell me." But the call went out on the radio. This the state trooper told me that he was heading out to eat dinner with his wife and said, "We've had a fatal crash on Interstate 24. We need you to respond fast." Remind you, I didn't have my seatbelt on. I walked out with one little scratch on my shoulder, telling my God, "Don't keep you." My God was watching over me, because if I had my seatbelt on, I'd have been probably upright, and my head ain't but that far from the top of the cab of the truck. It would have, who knows, broke my neck, paralyzed me, killed me. I don't know. But God was watching over me. And then things have happened throughout my life, you know, but I'm just hitting the tops of the mountain. Then my children, my children's mother was pregnant with my oldest child here. She went into premature labor. Went into the doctor and went into the hospital. The doctor came in, seen her, and we didn't know what to do. He didn't know if he should stop it, if he should continue the labor or what. Well, he just left, and we couldn't, you know, he was gone for a long time. And we thought, well, you know, we're in a crisis here. Where's he at? So we went out there and we said, "Where's our doctor at?" Said he's down in the chapel. He's praying to see what he needs to do. And I thought, well, I'm not going to say no more. If he's praying, you know, I'm going to let him pray. So he came back. He said, "You know, I've been down there praying." And he said, "I feel like I need to give her this shot. And this shot's going to make her go to sleep." He said, "When she wakes up, it's going to relax her. When she wakes up, if it's the real thing, we're going to have a baby." He said, "If not, she's going to go home." When she went to sleep, well, it was the real thing. Her water broke, and we started having a baby. It's kind of touching here to me. It hits close to home. When she was born, the cord wrapped around her neck twice. And she came out. This is my oldest child here. She came out. She was blue, almost purple. There was no crying. Felt like death in the room. Their mother, Amanda, sat up and said, "What's wrong with my baby?" The doctor said, "Lay down, let me take care of it." I lift my hand, I said, "Jesus, I need a little help." You know, it don't take much. All you got to say is just a little help. You ain't got to have a big old long, drawn-out prayer, but just a little help will do. Just a little dab of this Holy Ghost will do. Just a little dab will go a long ways. Just a little dab of this Holy Ghost will reach down and lift the lowest man and bring him up to the highest height and to put him on the mountain at the top, and it will lift him higher than you want to go. It'll take you further than you want to go. It'll take you all the way around if you want to go around. That's just a little dab. Just a little dab of God will do. Just a little dab of the Holy Ghost will do. Let me get back over here and testify. So, woo. Okay. She called on my hand on my shield on my kai. He don't know my shield on my high. Glory. I said, "Jesus, I need a little help right here." You know, a breath of fresh air came into that room. But God came into that room. And she breathed this breath of air. And she rose up and cried. That's all we got to do is just breathe a little bit of this Holy Ghost and rise up and cry out, "Jesus, I need you." Just cry out, "Dear God, I need you at this time of hour." Woo. Let me get myself under control here. I feel like having church. I don't know about y'all. It's okay because we're in a Pentecostal building. And this is what Pentecostals are known for. We roll around. We speak in tongues. We might jump a little bit. But that's all right because that's what our Jesus likes. As long as we're praising Him. As long as we make a joyful noise unto Him. The rocks will not cry out. Glory! I'm still talking about my God. Because it says, but God. Then later on in life, this is my oldest daughter again. Poor thing. She had to have, her eye vision ain't very good. The doctor says she needs to have laser surgery on her eyelid. She has real bad lazy eye. We had to take her to Nashville. The doctor said, usually with adults, we put them to sleep for this. We keep them awake because we'll look and adjust and everything. But we're going to have to put her to sleep. Said, it might take 7 or 8 surgeries to do this. We didn't want to go through that. You know, who wants to put their child through 7 or 8 surgeries, laser, putting them to sleep and all this? So we said, okay. We started praying. Took her to the Mount Carmel youth meeting. Had the youth pray over there. Went into this surgery room. Doctor done the surgery, sent her home. She didn't hardly have any pain. Both eyes. Hardly no pain. Took her back at the normal time. And the doctor said, it's going to take one surgery. I done it right. Said, but you know what? I wasn't in that room doing that surgery. Somebody else done this surgery for us. I tell you what, but God stepped into the room one more time. But God done that surgery for us. I'm telling you what. I'm sorry for spitting on you, brother. I tell you what. I appreciate what God has done for us. Because without Him, I could do nothing. But through Him, I have all strength through Christ. It says, through Him, I could do it. And that's what I want to do. I'm striving to do things through Him. I'm glad to be here. I'll sit down and behave myself now.
Glory. Feels good to be here today. Feels good to be a part of the body of Christ. And to know that even in our good times and our bad times, the Lord is with us. And the Bible says that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but He'll go with us all the way, even to the end. And it's a wonderful thing to be called this way. And we know that there's the kingdom of heaven's going to be made up of people that are called, chosen, and faithful. And so I'm working. I've been called. I know that. And I'm working to be faithful. I want to be chosen to go all the way with the Lord. I want to die out to the flesh and surrender my life to Him so that I'm a vessel in His hands and to be molded into His image. I'm thankful for this meeting that we've been in, and it's a wonderful experience to serve God's people. I've been to Little Rock, as you know, before we moved here, and participated in the meeting. But I didn't work in the meeting like I have for, I guess we've been here 10 years, 11 years, I don't know. I know I've been in this church longer than I've been in any other church. And so I know where my home is, for sure. But I remember coming into this meeting for the first time to work. And I can honestly say that it's more a blessing to work in a meeting than it is to participate in it, to come and be served. It's more blessed to serve than it is to be served. And it's really, for me, it was something I didn't recognize until I found myself serving. And then I recognized how much I enjoyed it. And I thought of when Sister Lynette was singing, and how blessed I am I'm just so blessed God took the time to make room for me you know, it's just a, I was just a, you know, a vessel without a sail. You know, I was adrift. I just drifted as a kid, as a teenager, even from this to that, and had no purpose. You know, like these boys that were talking in the meeting. I think they're from Russellville, Kentucky. You know, working at a young age and not having any, you know, not really having any leadership or anybody to rely upon, and abusive, you know, father and things like that. And I found my place when I found the body of Christ. You know, and I've been through those things. I've been involved in those things, and it's who I am. I can't escape it. I can't turn from it. But when I found His people, I found something just so much different than anything I'd ever found. I've been going to church since I was a little kid. I've been baptized, you know, a couple times in religion, and you know, I've said the sinner's prayer many times, and I'm always looking for something more. And we walked into a church in Springdale, Arkansas, and began to hear about the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I never heard about the Holy Ghost, ever. I didn't know that God had a gift for me other than salvation when I die, but I needed something today. I didn't, you know, I wanted... I'm ashamed to tell this, but I was a little boy. I was about five, and my favorite brother, the one that mattered the most to me, was killed in a car accident. And, you know, I heard these stories about, well, you know, how do you explain to a five-year-old that, you know, his brother's dead, and his hero, his superhero is gone? And they'd tell me stories like, well, he's with Granddad, or, you know, when you go to heaven, you'll get to see him again, and stuff like that. And, well, I didn't care about none of that. I wanted to see him today. And they kept telling me stuff like that. You know, and that's what they do. You know, Babylon's a house of confusion. And they don't understand always the Word of God. They've got a measure of truth. They've got a little bit of barley, but they don't have the wheat. They don't have the stuff that just really helps you grow. And helps you, you know, reach that place that you need in God, where you're not just waiting for a day, but thank God you're living it today. You're a Christian today. You're being saved today. And so I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I just had enough, you know. I'd had enough of being, you know, knocked around, and I'd had enough of missing my brother, and I stepped out in front of a car. And by the help and grace of God, that automobile, the driver, he missed me. And I grew up fast. That's how best I can describe it. I just grew up fast. And so as a teenager, I began to look for things. I found out that wasn't going to fix that longing in my heart. And I began to look for things. And, you know, I've tried things and things I wouldn't repeat because I'm ashamed of them. And I wouldn't want other people around my place. We call it the dirty truth. You know, there's a dirty truth about life, and life's rough and tough, and it really is miserable sometimes. And there's things that people go through. There's things that people go through. There's things that I've go through that I would never tell anybody, just for the sheer fact it's humiliating, it's shameful. And I talked to God about it, but I wouldn't want anybody to feel like there's any glory in that, because there's not. There's glory in Jesus Christ. There's glory in salvation, and that's what I would rather talk about. And so I tried things. I went here and there, and we met this church when I was in Springdale, Brother Merle's church, when I was about 12. And God changed my life. Filled me with the Holy Ghost as a 14-year-old boy, and I've been walking this way ever since. I'll tell you, when Sister Lynette was singing that song, you know, there's been moments in my life, there's still moments in my life And even in this meeting, where I missed, I know I'm not the only one, but I won't include you just for the sake that I don't know, you know, your thoughts. But I miss my dreams. The dreams that I had as a kid, the things that I admired or wanted to do, or the places that I wanted to go, or the experiences that I wanted to have as a child. There's moments in my life where I miss that, and I reflect back on that at times and think, well, what if, or could have been, or, you know, had this gone this way or this gone that way. And I've mentioned this before, you know, I love this church, and I'm growing to love Little Rock. I'm a country boy. I grew up in a small town, and it's the pace here is doesn't always suit me. Of course, the town I grew up in is not small anymore, and I recognize that. But I moving here was something that I didn't ever anticipate. Ever, I never anticipated it. In fact, Brother Langer told me to move here about 5 years before I did, and I thought he was crazy. Brother Langer, I can't move to Little Rock. I've got a home. You know, I love where I live, and I don't know nothing about Little Rock. Besides, Brett Weiniger lives there. And so, you know, there's moments in my life that I reflect on. Why did things have to fail? You know, I guess that's where I'm coming from. Is why did that have to go wrong? Why couldn't that one moment in my life gone my way? Why couldn't have this happened where things would have been different? Why couldn't this person have done something different? Why couldn't they have followed the Lord and made things easier? There's moments, and I would guess that probably all of us, if not some of us, if not all of us, have those moments in our life. But I was sitting here reflecting about where I am today. And I'm thankful. I have a deep thankfulness in my heart for where I am today. You know, I know where I've been. But I'm going to tell you, where I am today is the best place I've ever been. And I look at my children, I look at my wife, and how they've been able to just enjoy. They haven't had the turmoils or some of the things that I've experienced. They just get to enjoy being in a church that's planted in the body of Christ. And that, I tell you, if you've been in a church that wasn't, and then to be in a church that is, it's just a wonderful peace. An assurance. It's a blessed assurance. That's the word I'm looking for. There's a blessed assurance to know that no matter what comes, no matter what happens in your life, no matter who around you fails, thank God to know that the family of God that you're a part of is planted and rooted deep in the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. It's a wonderful feeling. Hallelujah. Oh, God. And even in my own shortcomings and my own failings and my own faults and frustrations, you know, and the things that I wrestle with, it seems like on a regular basis, even to deal with all of that, to have that peace, that assurance that I can come and find my refuge in the house of God. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth thereinto and are safe. Thank God we've got a place, we've got a safety. And then the Bible also says that there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so I know today that where I am and where we are in this setting, I have great confidence in Brother Smith, and I'm my confidence is growing in that we are in a house of safety. That the direction, the leadership that we're working under is for our good. And you know, I tell you, when somebody, I know when my children, there's moments in their life when they don't have that confidence. It's funny, and I know some of y'all recognize this, mothers and fathers. when you're working with your children and you tell them to do something and they give you that look like, are you crazy? I'm not doing that. I'm going to get hurt. You know, here's a good one. You know, the boogeyman, he lives out in the dark. Everybody knows that, right? You know, I've never seen him, but I'm scared to death of him. And so, you know, when it's 9:30 at night and you got something in your car that you want, or you want the trash took out, or go get the dog, or whatever the case may be, look, I'm not getting off the couch if one of the kids are in the living room. They're going outside. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm resting my dogs right now. My feet are sore. I'm resting. And so, you know, I say, hey, Neth or Lila or Claire and Tan, you know, it just, whoever's the closest to me, it's too bad for them. Go outside and get me what I want. You know, go get this or go, you know, whatever. And they give you that look like, Dad, it's dark out there. You know, never mind that the dog's out there and the dog is, you know, goes bananas. Somebody walks in the yard. Never mind that. Dog ain't barking. Never mind that the porch light comes on. That's all right. It's dark. You know, never mind that it looks the same as it did two, you know, 3-4 hours ago. It just happens to be that there's no light. It's still, the tree's in the same place. The car's parked in the same spot. That bicycle that you left in front of the door is still there. Yeah, don't trip over it when you walk outside. But they give you that look like, are you crazy? You're crazy, right? I'm not going out there. And then you got a coat, you know, come, it's okay. Look, if I hear a blood-curdling scream, I'll come running. It's okay. Never mind that guy with the butcher knife. He doesn't want to talk to you. He's going to the neighbor's house. No, look, that guy does not live in our neighborhood. You know, he lives in Cabot or Jacksonville or somewhere else. He doesn't live where we live. So anyway, but when they get that look in their eye like, okay, whatever, if that's what you want me to do, and they just do it, oh, wow, that's awesome. Well, that's how I want to be. I want to get to that point where I have enough trust and enough confidence in God and His ministry that when they say, you know, jump or fetch me this or whatever, I want to have that look on my face of, okay, if that's what you want, I'm willing. I want to have that confidence that it's going to be all right. And I don't know about y'all, but God, it seems like when the Lord really wants to get my attention, I get overloaded. And I get more than I can do. And I guess that in part is because I do things oftentimes out of my own strength. I just do it. You know, maybe there's others that feel that way, I don't know. But it seems like whenever I get to my point of breaking, it's when I just, there's more than I can do. And I've been there often here lately. And I was up in the media booth, and I want to say how much I appreciate my crew that I work with. It's really a privilege to work with them. And if you don't know or if you haven't said anything to them, they do a fantastic job. And really, they make our job up there is to make you guys look good, make the Lord look good, and that's our desire. And they really strive to do that. I know oftentimes we mess up or something fails, but I hope you'll, you know, be charitable with us and pray for us and support them and let them know that they're doing a good job, because I assure you, they do a fantastic job, and I do appreciate them. And so in this meeting, I was tired, and my little boy come up, and he come up, and he just put his arms around me. He said, I love you, Dad. He didn't have anything to say to me. He didn't, you know, he wasn't bringing anything to me. He just come up and said, I love you, Dad. And I'm going to tell you, it just broke my heart. Because it just lets me know that God, He never has left me. Even when I'm at my most difficult point, He still knows just how to touch that spot. Just that spot. Just that one place in my life that brings me to my knees and just humiliates me in front of Him and lets me know that I'm nothing, that I can't walk without Him holding my hand, that I can't succeed, I can't do anything, that the only thing that I have to do is to serve Him and He will supply all of my needs. I want you to know that I am thankful to be here in the house of God, and I thank God for all these wonderful churches that bless our congregation and bless us. I'm thankful for our visitors that are here today. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, for all that worked and labored, for all the cooks and the serving people that served and cleaned and ministered and took care of other things. We really have a great church, and there's going to be things that come against us, and there's going to be people that may get discouraged or people that may get frustrated or whatever the case may be. Let's stand together. Let's stand with each other. And, you know, let's pray for those that are in need. Let's lift them up. The Bible says if a brother be overtaken in a fault, let's try to restore them and help them. Let's try to lift them up before God and help them find their way back to the loving family of God. But let's love each other at the same time. Let's enlarge our hearts, if you will, and make room for those that are coming in and those that we may struggle with or whatever the case may be. Let's work together and be encouraged in the house of God. I love you, and I'm thankful to be here.
Brother McNabb from Keswick, Ontario, Canada, formerly known as Lindsay's father, and now I'm Rebecca's grandfather. So if you think you've been aged, so we're thankful to be here, and it's good to be in the family of God. I had a natural family, and there was times when it was good being there. Life now. Okay. And some people place great importance on their natural family. When you lose a loved one, you certainly see how it affects people. I one time had a man in the church. His grandmother passed away, and he completely fell apart. I didn't even know he had a grandmother. That's how great of an effect it can have upon you. You never talk about her, never visit her, never have a relationship with her, and yet when she dies, it has a profound effect upon you. Now that caused me to do a lot of thinking when I saw that thing take place. And I wanted to make sure that when I have a relationship with someone, that first of all, it be real. And that to have a relationship, you must invest some time. Not just a little bit of time, a lot of time. Has anyone ever heard someone say, there's no way I could work with my wife? I work with my wife for many years now, and it's a pleasure working with her because I get to see all my shortcomings. If I didn't have a wife, I would be totally faultless. She doesn't have to say anything. She just keeps her lips sealed. And I just get revealed. And that truly helps me. I really appreciate the message from Paducah today. It was real. Real. I'm glad you're 6'5". Well, my mind's going in a million areas. And I was laying in bed last night thinking about all the things that have been said. And on our service here on Wednesday, the message was on being privileged to being here, being in the body of Christ, being in the family of God. There was a lot of emphasis put on the word privilege. And all last night, I had my mind stayed on a line of thought about nationality, citizenship. And I was struggling with it. I pictured myself going into the United Nations and asking everyone to denounce their citizenship. Do you think that would be possible? You can do it. But can you come into a church and ask the people to denounce their citizenship? You know, Brother Smith made mention one day not long ago in our assembly that a Jew may be an American, but he's a Jew first. And that got me thinking, am I a Canadian or am I a body of Christ man first? What is my citizenship? What is my nationality? What do I really stand for? What do you stand for? Where is your family? Which family do you really treasure? And you go over there in 1 Peter 2, 9. It says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now here's the thing, you know, lots of people want to look different. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. Peculiar means you're different. Unique. And when you're unique, you become very obvious. You stand out like a pimple on the end of your nose. Everybody notices. That was being brought forth by our young people. Their desire to be able to be identified as being a Christian and not being identified as someone who's been dabbling around in their previous world. The previous world offers nothing. You know, you don't have to be convinced of that. You don't have to be constantly told that. Everybody knows it. And yet, there's such a strong gravitational pull on by the flesh to go back to that. It's just like if you jump up, you will have to come back down. That's a hard thing to deal with. It says that that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. Not just light, his marvelous light. It is amazing. I saw a man from Paducah telling me it's marvelous. I'd like to take you in my suitcase and bring you back to Keswick for a while. You know, I need it. The people need it. You know, we got just a little assembly, Brother Smith. We have a very tiny assembly. And we live on a dead-end street. If you want to come to Keswick, you really want to come to Keswick. And, you know, we get to hear whatever is going on in the body about 99th hand. We come down here and we finally get a little drift of what's going on. It takes a lot for the news to go up north, but sometimes that's good. Sometimes you don't want to hear all the news. But I do like hearing all the good reports. So when we do come to meetings, which we strive to be faithful in, because we want to be with the family of God, we get to hear the good things, and we make sure we close our ears to all the negative things. I would like to just go into the book of Ephesians for a few minutes and just touch on a few scriptures pertaining to citizenship. It's geographical location. Everybody knows where the United States of America is. Does everyone know where Canada is? Just go north. You can't miss it. You got to go through Canada to get to the North Pole. And just don't do it in January. But over there in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You notice in that scripture in 1 Peter 2:9, it talked about being a holy nation. The word holy is a powerful word. It's a requirement. And that's the thing we're striving to do in our walk with God, is to be holy. That's why the ministry probably would like to see the people not using iPods and things of that nature in church. That's probably not a healthy way to stay holy. It's not a good thing. Not good to be reading your Bible on your own when you got a man of God up talking. It's not holy. And not good to be late for church. It's not holy. It's not good to leave early. It's not holy. Holiness covers so many aspects to a Christian's walk. There's more to holiness than just the word holy. It requires all kinds of action. He's having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It's a unique relationship. Again, that relationship is with him. According to the good pleasures of his will. Someone mentioned Brother that's Brother. Can't think of your name all of a sudden. I'm sorry? Nathan. Painter, Brother Painter. About your will. Why can't it be my will? And that is the problem. The will. Now, if we just move down, he says, in verse 9, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that is one of the great messages that Brother Smith's got working towards in this body of Christ, is the dispensation of time that we are in. The fulfillment is on its way. We are here to have a fulfillment take place in our life. And all these young people that are here are going to be the leadership of what God is going to be doing in the end times. The leadership. If the leadership is being established now. We have leadership. But the leadership that will have the fullness of the truth is sitting out there. We will be sitting under you, listening and submitting ourselves unto. We can't be saved if we can't submit ourselves unto them. We will have to take a lower seat. Can you imagine Brother Ray Leniger coming here and he'll be sitting under a ministry with all the knowledge that man had? But he will be glad to sit under the leadership that God has built. He'll rejoice in it. He'll have no problem with it. And other great men of God will be rejoicing. I don't think Moses was looking for a high seat when he was resurrected. I don't think that was his problem. He was rejoicing. He was striving to be in the bride. And he was in the fulfillment of his time. He says, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You see the continuous mentioning of his will. What did Jesus say? Not my will, but your will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. That after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, he says in verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding is being enlightened, that you may know that is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. When you're a citizen of the United States, as a little child, we immigrated to the United States back in the 70s. And my son was just entering into kindergarten at the time, and he was coming home every day. He was learning how to pledge his allegiance to the United States of America. And he'd be standing there with his hand on his chest, and I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States. You probably, you all know it? You all did it, right? And we put great emphasis on the declaration of what? Independence. Is that the message we preach in the body of Christ? It's not the message at all. Our pledge is to declare what? Our dependence upon him. That's a different kind of a citizenship. We don't have rights. We have privileges. There's a big difference between having a right and having a privilege. There's a big difference. You can pledge your allegiance, but what are you pledging it to? In the world right now, there's a whole pile of people straining and doing everything they can to win a gold medal. They put great effort in. They press through day in and day out. They suffer. And they struggle with finances. And they give up their careers. And they give up their education. And they give up... Oh, boy, am I glad to see that. Thank you.
It'll make you say your Hail Mary's in
the morning. I was thinking about it. And... They're laying down their life. They have purpose. They have direction. They have ambition. They have drive. And they have success. And they have failure. They have discouragement. They have all these things. And they're doing it for what? A little, I'm sorry? Just a little gold piece of metal. And who won all those medals a few years back for America? What was his name? Who finished in second? Nobody remembers. You know what? You will remember everyone who finished in second here. Because we're going to love one another into the kingdom. You're not here trying to be number one. That's not the message. The message is that we're all going to make it. The message is we're not leaving anyone behind. The message is that we're going to get around each other and support one another until we all make it. We're all going to be on the same page. We're all going to have the same spirit. We're all going to have the same message. We're not going to have our personal opinion. We're not going to have our personal will. We're not going to have our personal ambitions. God doesn't want you to have all that, because his desire for you is greater than your own personal desire. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. Is there anything he doesn't know? Is there anything too hard for him to do? There's nothing too hard for our God to do. If he can get a 6'5" guy out of a truck, the way you described it, That's amazing. That's totally amazing. And you've never lost your appreciation of it. That's even more amazing. Because that's the great temptation, is that you can lose your thankfulness. You can lose your thankfulness of where God brought you to in the body of Christ. That's why people leave. We all know people that have left once, twice, three times, four times, and they all some come back, and then they leave again. It's because they forget. Isn't that what children do? Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, do this. And they forget. They're not grounded enough. There's not enough in them. So we're striving as a ministry and as saints in the church to work together so that none of us will ever forget what has truly happened to us, that we have been taken out of this world. Doesn't it say it's a corrupt nation? Isn't that what it says in the scriptures? It's corrupt. I don't feel corruptness working in here today. I know it's here because there's flesh floating around the room, but it can't operate. It's not allowed to operate. It hasn't got permission to operate. When you go outside those doors, corruption has tremendous amount of permission. That's what it is. It has permission. You can do almost anything out there. It takes a lot to get thrown into jail today. It takes a lot to blush. That's one of the problems in the church. We got to be careful that we don't lose our sensitivity to being ashamed of attitudes, behaviors, how we respond to a leader. I'm going to give you an example of what happened to me one time. We were having our first convention, and Brother Goss, my pastor, and I were going to a grocery store to pick up some apple pies. And he said, "Now be careful you don't crumble the pastry." Just what a 42-year-old man wants to hear, right? Don't crush the pastry. And about 13 times later, I said, "Brother," that's all I said. But he knew. The shame that came upon me at that moment, I may as well smacked him in the nose. I felt so shame, you know. But here's what I'm going to try to get across to you. The shame felt so good. If I can get that across to you. The shame felt so good because I was sensitive to what God was doing in my life. That was more important to me than the shame and the apple pies and all the other stuff that goes with it. And you know how Peter, when he denied Christ three times, what did he do? He wept bitterly. You know where my dog kennel is? I went in behind that. It was a woodshed in those days. And I went back in behind there and I cried and I cried and I couldn't stop crying because of apple pie. An apple pie caused me to do that. And I said, "Lord, you can use anything to get me into that kind of condition. Please do so." I was really, truly thankful. I had another experience where I got a little discouraged. And I can't remember what the world it was I was discouraged about, but I was working in a factory in a paper mill where they make toilet paper. Real exciting job. And you watch all this paper going into a pulp machine and beating it up, and it's just got to be the right texture in order for you to have good toilet paper. And
imagine the world without it.
And I got to the place where I said, "Well, Lord," I says, "I don't think I can stay around these people much longer the way I'm feeling. So I may as well, you know, make like a tree and leave." And I said, "But I want to thank you for what you've done for me." All of a sudden,
the minute I said that. Whatever was there, it left me, and I was jumping and hooting and hollering, and I was jumping a lot higher than you. And I was bouncing off the walls, and I was getting into the Holy Ghost so fast and so thick. And the vice president of the company walked in the room. This is at 2 in the morning. And he opened up the door and he said, "Oh, excuse me, I don't want to disturb you." And he left. So God can cover you. He can protect you. But I treasure that moment. I treasure when things are going wrong and I can get corrected. I enjoy correction. There was a time when I didn't enjoy it because I didn't understand it. But when you understand what correction does for you, it's an amazing experience. And there's no shame. Do you know, the citizenship that we hold, it's very permissible for a man to come up here and cry. In the citizenship that's out in that world, stop your bellyaching, stop your crying, stop this, stop that. But here we get to grow up. We get to wash each other's feet with our tears. We're able to grow in it. And so I feel that there was lots of tears this past week. We had a nice bath, didn't we? There was some foot washing going on. There's people that are going to go out of here. They're feeling refreshed. They're feeling cleaner than they were when they came in here. And isn't that what God is trying to do, is get us cleaned up? He doesn't want us to be a dirty people. He'd like to see us clean, squeaky clean, and not weary of his chastisement, not weary of his leadership, not weary of work, not weary of being in church, but to be encouraged by it all. Because the ultimate, the reward is so great. There's no greater reward. And yet these people, they go to these Olympics and they really get excited when they get a little gold medal. Silver, they get excited when they get the bronze. They get something out of it. But I'm striving for eternal life. But I'm really striving more for an eternal relationship. I think that's even greater. I think when you start thinking in terms of eternal life and a reward, I mean, there's room for it. But the fact that we can have an eternal relationship with one another and never see death, never have problems again, it's going to go away. All this stuff. And our walk is going to get better. You're not going to make it in the bride by the skin of your chinny chin chin. You're going to walk in with strength, with vitality, with truth. You're not going to walk in towards the finish line, "I made it." It's not going to be like that. You're going to be walking with victory and confidence, knowing that your God brought you to the finish line and that it was his workmanship and not yours. That is what gives you life. We talk as if, like, you know, well, we're making mistakes. Well, stop making mistakes. You keep making a mistake, go get some help. Don't stay in it. You're never going to feel good making mistakes. But if you do make a mistake, there's a place to come. You can come for counsel. You can go to the stronger members in the church and get some encouragement. It's there. God's been preparing people for a long time for you to go to. When I had children, if they weren't coming to me for help, I'd be scratching my head saying, "Well, how come they're not coming to me?" "Oh, I can handle it." Well, my two-year-old children, when they were two, they didn't have any problem coming to me. But as they got older, you didn't seem to have the same level of dominion over them. But they didn't seem to have the same level of dependence upon you. And yet God's not weary of our dependence. He wants us to become more dependent, not less dependent. More and more and more every day, rather than looking at the end of your own arm for a helping hand. So I got a lot out of the meeting. I feel strengthened. I'm glad I'm going back home. Get out of this torturous heat. There's no point in having air conditioning down here. It don't work. You guys are wasting your money. You can forget those 2 5-ton units. God will give you 1,500 people here and it won't work. we're thankful that we are a part of what God is doing. Very, very thankful. And I'm glad to see that my granddaughter is enjoying herself. She hasn't stopped talking, but she's enjoying herself, and that's good. You know, she could be in a worse place, could she not? Hey, anybody know a worse place? Well, I was there. I was in the worst place, not the worst place, but I was in a worse place. So we thank the Lord for permitting us to be here, and I don't want to take up all your time. And when you get those passports, don't forget, go north. And it's cooler than the Dominican. And you don't have to eat rice and beans every day.
Enjoyed myself, and I can appreciate Brother Painter what he said. It's a blessing to serve God's people, blessing to be in the body of Christ. I feel like I'm still a student, still learning, still in school, still enjoying what God's teaching me, and I. really appreciate all the things that's been said. I really feel like there's been some good things said in this meeting, and it's been really good for the young people. It's been good for me. I'm still a young person, but I one of the things, you know, I'm getting is there's a secret in honoring and obeying the ministry. And that's something God has taught me since I've been in the body of Christ. And I really believe that. I really believe that in obeying and honoring, respecting the ministry, there is a secret in that. And one of the things that was going through my mind while some of the things were being said is Peter. It was actually mentioned several times, but I wanted to bring out this point. When Peter was walking on the got out of the boat, you know, he had to trust Jesus. You know, there was a lot of trust there. And it's really a difficult story to believe unless you really believe the Bible is true, you know, to think somebody could actually walk on water. But I believe it. I believe it actually happened. Huh? And so when Jesus was, or when Peter was out on the water, you know, he was treading water as long as he had his eyes on Jesus. When he started seeing the waves, his confidence faltered a little bit. But you know, when he was sinking down in that water, Jesus reached his hand out. And you know, one of the things that you have to honor the ministry is meekness. You have to have a heart of meekness. And you know what meekness is? Meekness is having a neediness. A spirit of neediness. You need something from God. You need something that you don't have. You feel in your heart, you feel a need. You can't make it on your own. You can't survive on your own. I don't know who the brother was that was giving that story about Peter. You know, he's talking about, I think it was Emmanuel, the brother from Mexico. He was saying, you know, have you ever drowned before, he said. Well, you know, I felt that way before, you know. But it's in that feeling that I need Jesus. I need something that I don't have. I'm in trouble. And as a young person, we need to have, or not just a young person, but anybody. We need, in order to have an honor for God's ministry, we need to have a need, something in our heart that says we need the ministry. Because we learn that that's how God speaks to us, you know. We learn something from God when we have a right spirit of neediness in our spirit towards God. But if you're drowning, you're needing something. You know, it's like, if I don't get some help, this is it. But Peter reached out his hand to put it in Jesus' hand. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, how does our young people get a handle on this? How do they get a vision of the body of Christ? You know, how can they get a handle on this and stay? You know, somebody also mentioned, you know, you got to have when Jesus asked Peter, who am I? He said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of God. You know, and Jesus said, you know, I didn't tell you that. You know, how did you know that? You know, nobody can tell you this is the body of Christ. Nobody can tell you that this is something that that you need, you know. But it has to be a revelation. But when Peter reached out his hand, when Jesus reached down his hand, how did Peter find salvation? Put his hand in the hand of Jesus, and he found help and salvation. And so we know what the hand of God represents in the body of Christ. I've been feeling a song. I don't know whether it goes here, but I've been feeling maybe it'll be a blessing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not Lord, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees, still in your good time. You answer not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Help me humble myself and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed and my eyes on you, Lord. Help me be on this earth, beyond this earth, what you want me to be. May that weight upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle.
Appreciate everything said. Just remain standing. We're going to eat. They've got dinner ready for us. Just want to once again mention to you how much I appreciate all of you that stayed over. And then I want to say also how much I appreciate the home folks, all your labors. You did a good job this week hosting this meeting. And the Lord, He's the one that repays. You've got a reward coming. So it's such a blessing to get to have the privilege to host a meeting like this, and for the Lord to let us have that blessing, that privilege. So just want to thank you each one for all you did and all your work. I don't know if we did we get everything. Can y'all help me to know, did we get everything put back in its place, cleaned up? Is there anything undone we need to do? All right. We'll get that done. And if everyone that can will help make sure the dining room is put back together and the kitchen's cleaned up when we get done, let's don't leave just a handful to do it. Then we're going to take off tonight and let you rest. Somebody said, can we clap for that? They were asking me. I wasn't asking y'all. But you evidently can. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord for this week and for the food, the fellowship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you and appreciate your presence, your assistance, and your help. Oh, God, bless your people, Lord, for their labors. Those that went back home, God, touch their assemblies and help them, Lord. Bless the food and our fellowship. We give you praise, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. Amen, amen. All right. Let's be sure to let all of our company go first and